mission for the Super Bowl winning Chiefs was ending. One killed, more than 20 wounded and injured, all despite a massive law enforcement presence.
This was a big event that the city prepared for. So there were hundreds of officers all over the place, about 800 officers specifically assigned just to monitor this area with thousands of people. And then there were 24 other law enforcement agencies who were brought in to help keep things safe. Yet with all those officers on the scene, we still had this shooting.
ABC's Alex Perez in Kansas City. New York City suing the social media titans, blaming what it calls their addictive and dangerous platforms for fueling a childhood mental health crisis. In Manassas, Virginia, police shot and killed a man who'd stabbed two people at a training center for electrical workers, killing one. This is ABC News. The National Archives building and its galleries were evacuated Wednesday after two protesters dumped red powder on the protective case enclosing the U.S. Constitution. The archive says the ancient document itself wasn't damaged. Social media video shows two men covered in reddish-pink powder being led away. The archives to reopen on Thursday. We have learned of the death of one of the people behind a decades-old and still quite popular breakfast food.
Most of us aren't old enough to remember a time when there weren't
Kellogg's Pop-Tarts.
The man credited by many for inventing Pop-Tarts, Bill Post, has died. He headed up the bakery production for Keebler back in 1964 when Kellogg's called looking for a quick breakfast item that was toastable.
Look at that sweet frosting and filling.
Well, his team came up with the idea of two sheets of dough with fruit filling in between. They tried perfecting it with some frosting, which didn't melt, and bingo, they had a winner. Bill Post from Grand Rapids, Michigan, was 96. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination, but there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History Story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new set of district boundaries for the state legislature waits for Governor Evers' signature. Republican lawmakers passed Evers' maps Tuesday. Democrats like Senator Jeff Smith say Republicans only did it to beat the Wisconsin Supreme Court to the job.
Throwing the will of the people out the door and going right back to the old ways of the legislature protecting themselves, the majority protecting themselves.
The High Court says Wisconsin's current maps are unconstitutional. First Lady Jill Biden is coming to Wisconsin on Friday. She'll be in Green Bay talking about career-oriented learning in high school and college. Jill Biden is a teacher herself at Northern Virginia Community College. The event is not open to the public. President Joe Biden was in Wisconsin in both December and January as the state is seen as pivotal in the upcoming presidential election. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks lose to the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home last night to the team that eliminated them from the playoffs last year, the Miami Heat. The final 123-97. That's a third time this season the Bucks have lost by 20 points or more. That's happened twice since Doc Rivers took over as head coach. After the game, Rivers telling reporters he thought the Bucks offensively were awful. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles with a win on the road at Butler, 78-72. That's the eighth win in a row for the Golden Eagles. Marquette is ranked fourth in the nation. And in Madison, Wisconsin snapping a four-game losing streak by beating Ohio State at the Kohl Center. The final, the Badgers 62-54 over the Buckeyes. Badgers head coach Greg Gard said his players had gone over that very situation in practice this week.
We did a little simulated game yesterday in practice and had almost the same scenario where it was about an 8-point game with X number of minutes to go, and you know, I thought they hit some tough shots too.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory will be in effect overnight and into the midday hours of your Thursday. Snow could accumulate to 2 to 4 inches, perhaps locally higher amounts. Lows in the lower 30s, mid-30s for highs Thursday afternoon. Currently 35 degrees.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Coming up next hour, 1133. We haven't seen him for a while. Judge Derek Mosley is going to be joining us. He's the director of the Lubar Center for the Marquette University Law School. Wonderful, wonderful man.
I love Judge Derek.
Yeah, he's terrific. So he's going to be joining us in studio. It is Black History Month all month. And so we will be talking about that, as well as Derek Mosley knows his food.
Oh my gosh. He should have a TV show. He should be on Netflix or what? Like, could you imagine that show?
Oh, he'd be wonderful.
I rarely watch those shows. I would watch it every time because the difference is, and this is what Phil Rosenthal has on his show, Somebody Feed Phil, is a genuine love of food.
Yes.
And you see it in their face when they eat it. Their eyes light up. They smile big. They're just so excited. That's what you need.
Yeah.
That's what the world needs.
Derek Mosley would bring the joy to a cooking show. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So make sure you join us at 11:30. Very, very busy show. Going to start out talking about fair maps at 10:30. We're going to bring back the good, the bad. And you went to an estate sale and you bought this.
Hey, it was on sale.
It's no judgment. I have questions. But as I said, we're going to start out with talking about the maps in Wisconsin. Republicans in the Wisconsin Senate and the Assembly did pass new legislative maps identical to those drawn by Democratic Governor Tony Evers in their latest efforts to kick something in before it goes to the Wisconsin Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
and they take control of it.
Ooh, that's not something you want.
No, that apparently isn't something that they want. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue introduced the governor's maps as an amendment to a bill shortly after the session started yesterday. A memo from the Wisconsin Legislative Reference Bureau confirms the maps voted on Tuesday are identical to what the governor submitted as part of this ongoing redistricting lawsuit.
Yeah, and the scuttle, the chatter,
mm-hmm.
is that this is all a strategic move on the Republicans' part because of that fear of the Supreme Court getting involved and their effort and a possible effort to tie it right back up.
Well, there's speculation that if the governor has 5 days now, I think as of mm-hmm. yesterday he had 6 days
yep.
to sign it. If he does that, there is some speculation that there's going to be another lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's going to challenge this and then tie this up even longer so that nothing gets done before the 2024 election.
Well, then it eventually goes to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
Which I don't. The thing is, I always want to say, of course, it's a conservative court. Of course, they're going to vote with the conservatives. But I don't want to make that assumption. The court might be like, we don't even want to hear it.
We don't want to touch that.
We're not going near this one. I got other things to do with my day. I got a robe to clean. But yeah, it's now I'm like, just I want it to be done. But that extra layer of like, oh great, now is the game of chess.
It's not over.
No,
it's not over yet. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. You already took one of my points, which is that the whole purpose of this is the Republicans are going to take this to the Supreme Court of the U.S. And if you recall what happened the last time they took Evers' mask to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court threw him out. And I think, you know, either they're going to try to make as much of a delay as possible, or they're going to take it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court will throw it out, say, oh, it's too late to draw anything but what you got. And we're stuck with these creeps for yet another 2 years. It's just, this is outrageous. Evers should definitely veto those maps and say, you know what? These maps were based on a false principle of the court, so-called least change, which never existed, and the maps are not right. So let's just let the court draw them. I think that's what he needs to do. Now, whether he'll do it or not, I really hope he does. But whether you'll do it or not, I have no idea.
But here's my
I hope he does.
Here's my question, though, Jack. And there were, I think, almost all the Democrats voted against this yesterday.
Yes, they voted, yeah.
And if the governor vetoes his own maps, then the Republicans can go to the voters and say, we gave him everything he wanted, and he vetoed it anyway. And I kind of view this as the Republicans' handling of the border, where they've been pushing for a deal, and then they finally get a deal, and they reject it, and that is not playing well for them. So I don't know. Do you think that would play well with voters? For those who are not as invested in this kind of news as we are and don't follow it as closely, I can see how this can be presented to voters as, again, we did everything they wanted, and they said no.
Well, they also, they tried doing this with the Iowa maps when they said, we're going to adopt the Iowa system.
Which was not it.
And they, I know, but they went on social media, all the interviews saying, we're giving them what they want. We're doing exactly what they ask. And now they're saying no.
Right.
The holes are poked in their stories very quickly. So if the Democrats vote against it and Evers vetoes it, then I think the Democrats need to get on strong messaging saying, this is why we're doing it. Don't let the GOP fool you. It's not because of us being, you know, trying to keep things in the mud. We're doing this for the best interest of Wisconsin, and what they're doing is a trap.
What do you think, Jack? How do you think that would play with voters?
I think it's, you know, very clearly a false equivalency to say that it's anything like the border deal. This is definitely not, as one of you said, everything the voters want. The Democrats want. It's definitely not that. Because, again, the Evers maps were based on this so-called least change principle, which was rammed through by a Republican-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court. So these maps are not even, you know, they're not, definitely not impartial. They're definitely not neutral. We've got to have neutral maps drawn. It's just if Evers signs this, I will be very disappointed.
Well, we got to. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate you calling. Always appreciate you listening. We got a couple more days. Again, yep. It was my understanding as of yesterday, the governor had 6 days to sign it, so today would be five. Republican State Senator Van Wangard said yesterday on the vote to approve the governor's maps, quote, Republicans were not stuck between a rock and a hard place. It was a matter of choosing to be stabbed, shot, poisoned, or led to the guillotine. We chose to be stabbed so we can live to fight another day.
Van Wangard just coming at it with all the words again. Just the best word choices from Racine's very own Van. I'm going to start calling him Wangard now. Van Wangard.
I really stabbed. Really? But I just think this is indicative again of they've had it so locked up for so long, and life has been so good for all this time, and they just don't want to let that go.
And they have really, really childish ways of making stories too. Of like, we gave them what they wanted, and they don't like it anymore. We don't do Lego maps, man. Well,
let's take a listen to Mr. 17% approval rating.
Up from 16, folks.
Wait, well done. Here is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from yesterday.
Pains me to say it, but Governor Evers gets a huge win today. We see that a map that was drawn by him is going to be adopted by the legislature per the request of the state Supreme Court. So as I said, I think it was a month ago, sometimes, especially when you've been in the minority for so long, it's hard to know when to take a win.
Tell me more, Coach.
This is one of those very clear examples where Governor Evers gets to take a huge win. When he ran for office in 2018, when he ran for re-election in 2022, one of the major things that he said is he wanted maps that were, in his mind, fair. Well, I can't think of ones that would be any fairer than ones that are drawn by the governor and his own team himself. So whether we like it or not, Wisconsinites hopefully will have new maps in November, ones that I think Republicans will still be very competitive on, albeit the legislature will be up for grabs. We will have the ability to decide if we want to go toward the direction of Minnesota and Michigan with high taxes, high regulation, and people fleeing the state, or we want to stay in the direction that we're heading in Wisconsin, where we have the ability to have a lower tax burden, a lower regulatory touch, and still a historically good economy for Wisconsin. So I'm optimistic. I think that today is the end of a long, expensive journey for the taxpayers of Wisconsin. We don't need to have this lawsuit continue. We actually get to, by voting yes, say that we now stop spending the money on the governor's side to argue the maps are unconstitutional, and on the legislature side, saying that we're going to defend them.
I love the fact that Robin is putting himself forward as this great purveyor of fiscal responsibility when he has been spending millions of taxpayer dollars the last couple of years with this bogus election interference and Gableman that we paid millions to with very little accountability, but we can trust Robin Voss because he cares about our money.
Also, I mean, did he just high on Biden to win? If Wisconsin's economy is doing well historically, I don't know what historically, does he mean from 1849 to now when there were 40 people in the state versus now?
Back when things were good, like 1849.
What did he say? The economic touch or the, that's always weird to me. But this just, once again, shows that he has no idea what he's talking about. He loves his arguments, but we live in a state that is not kind to women. We live in a state that is listed as some of the worst places for Black people to live in. There are so many problems, but he just likes to choose his little, and our low tax burden, that's not a great thing either. And now you talk about sending the surplus back to the people. I'm sorry, fiscally responsible, my tookus.
844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc, I see you there. Please stay with us. When we return, we'll keep this going, and also we'll talk about the George Santos defeat lap. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long.
Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Galvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. And check out our newly spiffed website.
It's spiffy.
It's spiffy.
It's spit shined and clean for you. And
CivicMedia.us. Check it out. It really does look good.
It looks really great.
And they've been working on this for a while. So shout out to all of our web people,
tech gurus.
And our tech gurus who handle all those things. 844-967-2789 if you want to call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon ruined. Bill is on the line from Oconomowoc. Bill, we've been talking about the maps, Governor Evers' maps, passing through the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate yesterday, and now they're heading to the governor. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I loved you playing Robin Voss's speech and how he comprehends democracy in action. He calls it other things. He doesn't call it democracy. This is what the people want, Robin. They don't want you running the maps and being in the minority. It just doesn't make sense. I really wish that, I don't know if he'd ever come on Civic Media, I'd like to hear him debate somebody. Because Ron Johnson will stick his foot out there once in a while, but I don't know why he does. It's like the coyote and the roadrunner. The minute Ron Johnson tries to cross the road, he gets flat. And I don't know how they would deal with Voss, but I've never heard that man debate anything that he believes in.
Well, because he really hasn't had to, Bill.
No,
right?
He's led a charmed political life.
He hasn't had any challengers. Adam Steen, who was the one, but they never debated that right?
The closest he came to losing out was against him.
And they never did it face-to-face, as far as I'm aware.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know, Bill. One wonders if he just doesn't, I just think he's been so safe and so cozy for so long, he doesn't have to defend anything.
When you present this facts, he's not going to be able to say anything. I mean, the facts about the state, the facts about our economy, the facts about the people. He has lived in this bubble that he has created over the past 20 plus years and hasn't really had to face a lot of naysayers. Or he has, but he doesn't have to respond
to them.
Yeah, he gets to walk away and make a herky jerky comment and foom away.
Flit away.
You are not allowed to be in the popcorn queen king or the queen. I don't know. He doesn't let him around any of the popcorn family.
Bill from Oconomowoc, thank you so very much for calling. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789 if you want to call and or text.
Text from the 414, Dave from New Berlin, listening. Thank you so much for reaching out, Dave. He says, and this is something that we've talked about over and over again, and I think it's something that still stands. I think that the maps should be reflective of the populace. Wisconsin is a purple state. Power should be able to shift from red to blue and vice versa. Republicans should have... Yeah, there is. Yeah, I'm gonna make an artistic change here because I think this is what you meant, Dave. Republicans shouldn't have complete control for a decade. Democrats shouldn't either.
Yes,
we are a purple state.
We should reflect that.
People want bipartisanship. We love talking about. I love hearing about bipartisanship. And when a set of maps has been violating if I'm not mistaken, the Wisconsin Constitution, especially with the non-contiguous
ones. Oh, yeah, for a long time.
For over a decade. There's a problem there. And the fact that this hasn't been fixed a long ago is upsetting. But now that's going to be hopefully be fixed sooner than later. Yeah, because Wisconsin wants to see fair maps.
Yes.
We want to see bipartisan.
Fair fights.
Fair fights. No cheaters.
No cheating.
Jane really doesn't like cheaters.
I think most of us agree on that. We don't want people who have a built-in, cushy, locked-in seat. I really don't think the vast majority of Wisconsinites want that, because when you have that, they don't have to listen to us.
Correct.
Tim from Eau Claire is on the line. Thank you for your patience. Tim, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Well, I think that Evers should not sign this, because according to Dear Leader, it's okay to change your mind and reconsider things. He did it, and they were fine with that. So, you know, and I think Walker backtracked on some of the things that he said when he was running to be governor. So, you know, you can change your mind. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world, Tim, if you decide to go a different way.
But that comes with what I was saying before, which is if Governor Evers decides to veto this, then the Democrats better have a strong message coming out of the gate for social media interviews saying, let's give you a very brief explanation
of why
we did this, because it's still not good enough for the people of Wisconsin.
And that's going to be really critical, is the messaging on it. And again, we're jumping the gun. We're assuming that the governor is not going to sign this.
Yeah.
And we don't know that to be the case. John from Dodge Lake is on the line. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Yes, what I was thinking was, if the governor wants, just line item veto out the bill part of the bill, leave a few introductory sentences, and just leave the maps right there and give it right back to the Republicans and let them have fun with it. Either they sign just the bill, or if they somehow veto it, fine, whatever. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, John. Really appreciate it. You can always check in with us at 844-967-2789. Again, this isn't a done deal yet. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting to keep an eye on to see where we go with this. I did want to mention this just briefly because George Santos.
Who?
George Santos. Remember the disgraced Republican from New York, House of Representatives, who essentially lied about everything.
Oh my gosh! With impunity.
Oh my god! And some pretty bold.
Yeah.
I guess I have to give him credit for that. If you're gonna lie, go all out, man. Just jump right into the lies, which he did.
He did.
And then ultimately got booted out of Congress. And now, after the Republicans lost that seat yesterday to a Democrat, they are bemoaning the fact that they don't have George Santos anymore.
the Jane Matinier laugh of victory, the chortle of champions.
It just is hilarious. And George Santos, of course, he has to chime in and go, yeah, nah, I told you this would happen. Don't you miss me now?
I don't miss you.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But the way that all played out, and we all knew that was going to happen, that it was never about his integrity or lack of.
No.
It was about being there to provide them with a vote that they needed.
Which they voted to get rid of. And there's a Democrat in there, and Mike Johnson has just lost his lead to, what is it?
Is it one now?
One or two.
It's pretty slim. We'll double check on this. It is pretty, pretty slim. All right, we have news coming up next, and then the good, the bad. And you went to an estate sale, and this is what you bought.
Yes, I did buy about four of them.
Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was wrong, and I just can't live.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Kansas City police have three people in custody in Wednesday's shooting incident as the celebration for the Super Bowl-winning Chiefs was ending. One killed, more than 20 wounded and injured, all despite a massive law enforcement presence.
This was a big event that the city prepared for. So there were hundreds of officers all over the place, about 800 officers specifically assigned just to monitor this area with thousands of people. And then there were 24 other law enforcement agencies who were brought in to help keep things safe. Yet with all those officers on the scene, we still had this shooting.
ABC's Alex Perez in Kansas City. New York City suing the social media titans, blaming what it calls their addictive and dangerous platforms for fueling a childhood mental health crisis. In Manassas, Virginia, police shot and killed a man who'd stabbed two people at a training center for electrical workers, killing one. This is ABC News.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are giving Governor Evers another chance to consider sweeping income tax cuts. A bill that got final approval Tuesday would cut state taxes by $2 billion. Republican Representative David Murphy.
The people in Wisconsin are suffering, and I hear it every day. We collect taxes to be able to have enough money to provide services. And when we have more than that, the taxpayers deserve that money back.
Democrats say most of the breaks will go to people who make $100,000 a year or more. Wisconsin is on track to have its warmest ever winter on record. This past December was the warmest December ever recorded in Wisconsin. January temperatures were more than 8 degrees warmer than average. February is on track to be almost 20 degrees warmer than normal. Experts say that there's still plenty of time for a cold snap, however, and plenty of opportunities to get some snow. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter weather advisory will be in effect overnight and into the midday hours of your Thursday. Snow could accumulate to 2 to 4 inches, perhaps locally higher amounts. Lows in the lower 30s, mid-30s for highs Thursday afternoon. Right now, it's 37.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening in Hayward on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. If you heard the weather forecast there, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, going to be joining us next hour at 11:20 to talk about if you're going to get snow, how much snow you're going to see, because apparently it's coming.
And maybe she'll lay upon us some of her snowetry.
Her snowetry?
Yes. Sometimes she speaks in rhymes and doesn't even realize it. And it's always about the weather.
She's terrific. Yeah. She really is. So, yeah. Brit, we'll do a little forecast update for you with Brittany Merlot. Wine and Weather with Brittany. That is coming up at 11:20. But right now it is the good, the bad, and okay. We'll start out with the good. If you're a politician in Wisconsin.
I'm not.
In particular, if you are a Wisconsin state legislature. And I was thinking about this yesterday as all the news was coming out of Madison about the maps and all of that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're going to be adjourning in just a couple of weeks. It's been a grueling 2 months, Greg Bach. They went into session January 16th of 2024. They adjourn on March 14th. Of 2024, and the Wisconsin legislature is only among a handful of other states which is considered full-time. It's considered full-time. Alaska, California, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
So, Robin Voss, I guess we are like Minnesota. You know, just, hey. What if it's just a few other things?
Our lawmakers, for working from January 16th to March 14th, receive an annual salary of $55,141.
That's not all the work they do. They come back later in the year, don't they?
Senators get a per diem of up to $115 to cover expenses when they are in Dane County on state business. If your district is Dane County, then you only get $5,750. Assembly members outside of Dane County get overnight per diem up to $155. But if you're in Dane County, it's $76.50. This is another sweet thing that I found. They get $75 per month in out-of-session pay when the legislature is in session for 3 days or less. So they still get paid.
Yeah.
Over 2 years, each lawmaker is allotted $68,000 to cover general office expenses, printing, postage, and district mailings. And then I assume they also get health benefits.
Yes, they do. And they also get pensions, I believe.
It helps to understand, perhaps, why some cling so tightly to this job.
Yeah.
Because I can think of a whole bunch of people who would be happy to make $55,000 for 2 months.
Don't give me that look. Don't look at me like you're mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
You're just disappointed?
I think that's quite something. And I'm not picking on Republicans. This is for Republicans and Democrats because the Democrats enjoy these same benefits. I guess my bigger question is, does this really qualify as a full-time job? Why is 2 months considered full-time?
Well, they write the rules, for one thing. But I think that their only argument could be is sometimes we're working 12, 13, 14 hours a day.
That's called overtime.
Yeah.
If you're salaried, that's just part of your job, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're on call. That's
what you do.
Yeah, you've signed up for it. The moment you cracked a yard sign into someone's front lawn, you're accepting that that will be your life.
And I think one of the reasons why this sticks out to me is there have been some who like to talk about how lazy people are,
mm-hmm.
laying in their hammock of lazy, and what they really need is a springboard to the dignity of work. And I don't know. I think they need more dignity, which would mean more than 2 months of work.
Well, I mean, to be fair, looking at it right now, Jane, I'm looking at the legislative schedule here. They do come back in April for 2 days.
Wow.
Looks like the then
they're done.
Then they come back in June for a day.
Wow. You just blew my whole argument out of the water.
Sorry, you know, I'm here. Okay, folks, let me tell you something here. I'm here to provide facts. I'm here to blow theories out of the water. I provide needles for your balloons. So, you know, don't come here with your whiny diny. They work 3 months, 2 months out of the year. Why do they get so much? They work 3 months and a few days.
Yeah.
So.
If you want to chime in on this, 844-967-2789. Andrew in Maine. Someone probably has done a study, but it might be time to update the count of total hours that representatives actually spend working once that's defined what counts and what does not count.
Yeah. I'm trying to debunk our own thought here. It's like, but I'm looking at the calendar here, and for the rest of the year, it's every Monday it's called admin registration. So, I mean,
that sounds really grueling.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, Republicans or Democrats, I will say this. I know the elected officials that I know also usually have another job.
Yes.
They have family.
Yes.
They travel. They see constituents. They do that work. Now, is it worth $55,000 a year and all these other things? I don't know. I have a feeling that if you brought it up, they'd probably be like, no, we want more.
And again, you've worked within politics. Todd Alba has worked in politics.
Yeah.
I have not.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there is so much more involved. And just the hours you have to spend on the phone pestering people for money.
Oh, yeah.
But that isn't something we should be paying you to do.
No, I mean, if you have a rep from Bayfield, they're driving 3, 4, 5 hours to get here. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like that can be a sticky conversation, because there is a lot that goes in it. If this is your only gig, then I hope you're making the most of it. Like when you're not in Madison, then you are knocking on doors, you are talking to constituents, you are doing the work of your district, then fine. If you're making it a full-time job, excellent. But if you're going to Madison for a couple months out of the year, and then you're like, sit back, kick up your feet, and you say, well, see you next election. I don't have to. I run unopposed. There's a problem there.
Well, and too, as I looked a little bit more into this yesterday and looked at other state legislatures, I mean, I think in Montana, they only meet for 3 weeks.
They have to
get everything done in 3 weeks, and that's it. But they are considered part-time.
Yep.
They're part-time. So just something to think about.
And if you don't want to run for office in Madison, run for alderman in Milwaukee. They make like
now they're
making like 35-40% more than state representatives, and their meetings are during the day.
They don't meet at midnight.
No,
behind closed doors.
I mean, that was one thing that we're seeing, is that we met the Common Council and all of those committees. Most of them met after 5 o'clock.
Oh,
and that way people could come out
and the public could be there,
and people who served on those committees that have to take off a day off of work. You know, and it's out there
in the open
at night, whereas other places, their common council meetings are during the day when it's harder for attend.
To show up. Sure. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is The Good, The Bad. And you went to an estate sale in this.
Oh, yes.
This is what you bought. Moving on to the bad. We were just talking about salaries for Wisconsin legislature. Wisconsin has lost nearly 18% of its school bus drivers in the last 2 decades. This is according to an article in WPR. The average salary for a bus driver, according to Indeed, is $19.23 per hour. So it's about $20 an hour. I know we've talked to people before who are bus drivers or who have been bus drivers. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know what has changed, and is it just the behavior of children?
Yeah.
Are they just acting out that much more that people don't want to do this? Or is is this a profession that is just considered an old person's job?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm trying to think back to all my bus drivers growing up. None of them were, they weren't exclusively old. I remember the one guy I didn't like, but that's not a problem right now. But yeah, I mean, I would think that the salary for bus drivers hasn't kept up with the cost of inflation and cost of living and whatnot. I mean, either a really young person's going to do it as a cool job or an older person might do it as a retired job.
And I think that was more the way that it was going. And I'm sure that once COVID hits, we lost a whole bunch of them. And I know a whole bunch of older people left the workforce just because they were going to be more vulnerable.
There's no way you could get me to do that.
To be a bus driver?
Oh, I would just stop. I would stop every 20 feet to yell at children.
I would probably be right there with you. I mean, it certainly
takes... You wouldn't get hired.
Is duct taping children to their seats to make sure that they're safe? Is that wrong?
Let's
Greg
check
Bach?
The parental bill of rights that
just
passed.
Just curious.
As long as you don't respect their pronouns.
It's got to be tough. It really has to be tough.
I mean, yeah, it's a thankless job. No one really, like, this isn't a society that says, thank you, bus drivers, right. School bus drivers. You're taking their kids to school and that's it. But, you're making $20 an hour.
I guess in addition to all of the other things that we have going on with our school districts and funding for school districts, and this is yet another piece where we're going to need somebody to start stepping into these jobs.
Yeah. It'll probably end up being, it'll become a boutique, like, hipster job. Like, what do you do for, I drive a bus for a living, and I'm also writing a book of poetry, you know? It'll come back in a fad or something, because that's what happens with these kinds of jobs. Jobs people don't want, that one day some guy with no sleeves and a denim shirt's like, I'll do it, and everyone else does.
If you are or have ever been or know someone who is a bus driver or has been a bus driver, I would really love to hear from you at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm going to give you in my experience when I was in high school, when I was riding the bus, and how important it is to have responsible bus drivers. We're driving down the road in Menominee Falls on Town Line Road, and I was going to Menominee Falls High School, and the bus driver was drunk. And
what?
He crossed the center line of the road. It's just one lane each way with a little yellow line down the middle. And there was an oak tree that was, you know, like 2 or 3 feet across. We went down in the ditch, and instead of hitting the oak tree head on, which everybody would have been killed, we leaned against a tree and scraped up the side of the bus, you know, and the guy was drunk. So, you know, we need to have very responsible people driving these buses. And this guy was really old. Now, you asked about if you know somebody. Well, my sister was a bus driver, but she drove the little bus that picked up the special kids. And she absolutely loved it. She loved it. And she would get out of the bus and help the kids on, and she'd hug them. And they all knew her name, you know. But she loved her job.
Yeah.
And I don't think she did it for the money. I think she did it because she loved the job.
She loved the kids. Yeah. Thank you so very much, Gary. Really appreciate you checking in. And always, always appreciate you listening. We'll keep this going. Tim, I see you on the line. If you can hang for just a couple of seconds. It's the good, the bad, and... You went to an estate sale, and this is what you bought.
And I'll do it again.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and X Twitter. Tim is on the line from Grand Rapids. We were talking about bus drivers and how we are losing our bus drivers. 18% of bus drivers in Wisconsin down in the last two decades. So we're looking for bus driver stories, or if you have been or know someone who is a bus driver. Tim from Grand Rapids, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Hey, good morning. First time caller. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in the parking lot. I'm doing I just got called in to do a route at 11 o'clock. So I took the job when I retired for a little extra cash to supplement my retirement. The reason there aren't that many is A, you have to have an excellent driving record.
Yeah.
B, I think there's a minimum age requirement, which I'm well over, and it might be like 25. And you're subject to random drug tests. If you smoked a joint a month ago, you might get fired.
Oh, that's a really good point, Tim. I had never considered that. You make a really, really good point. Is it fun? Do you enjoy it?
Well, you heard what that guy said about the kids. The kids are kids. Every generation has got their own issues. These kids never had to suffer a depression, a world war, but they got social media. You know, they junior high is the middle school is the worst age because they have no self-control. You know, the 4K kids.
Tim, I know adults who are like that.
Yeah.
Who have no self-control.
Well, I think this age group, you would say, is beyond that, adults. Yeah, that's true. No, I mean, just stupid stuff. Like, they won't sit down. Well, you know what? There aren't any seatbelts. If I have to hit the brake, you're going to go flying.
Yeah, you're going flying.
What does happen?
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you for your patience, and thank you for doing what you do, and thank you so very much for listening and calling, Tim. Really appreciate it. Cindy from Appleton on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good, thanks. And I have been a school bus driver for 31 years, and I've seen a lot of changes over those years. And like your last couple of callers, it really a lot of the issues is obviously kids, but the thing is there's no support from parents anymore. Yeah. There's no support from the school anymore. These kids, honestly, they're not so bad in the morning, but by the time they get out in the afternoon after having nothing but sugar all day long, they literally are bouncing off the ceilings and the walls, and that's not a joke. They are bouncing off the ceilings and walls. They will not listen. Like your last caller said, they don't like to sit down, you know, and it's just a constant battle with them. And like I said, if you say anything to the school, it's like, well, there's really not much we can do. And, of course, every once in a while I'll have a parent that'll get on the bus and say, can you make so-and-so sit up front here? Well, you know, that only works so long, and then, you know, they're just as naughty up front as they are anywhere else. So the problem with it is that there's just no support anymore. We are basically a thankless job that people just, you know, assume that we're going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And at the rate we're going, parents are going to be taking their kids to school pretty soon. They just are.
Thank you so very much, Cindy, for doing that for 30 years. You're a saint. But I think you make a really good point as far as the lack of support. And again, I'm of an age where if my school came to my parents and said I had misbehaved, there would not have been, what's your side of the story, Jane? It would have been, no, you're guilty. And it just doesn't work that way anymore. And not that that was necessarily right, but I think parents swoop in so quickly to protect and make excuses for their kids.
Because your kids' behavior can be a reflection on your parenting.
On you.
And therefore, if you don't think you're doing anything wrong, your kids aren't doing anything wrong. And it's someone else's problem.
Thank you for calling, Cindy, and thank you always for listening.
Laura from Wisconsin Rapids texted in from the 608 saying, I suspect older bus drivers when I was a kid were retired and the bus was part of their job for fun money.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people can't retire as young, and by the time they do, they can't do another job like that.
Well, and I think Tim had made a great point as far as you have to be able to pass a drug test.
Yeah.
And that
wasn't the case 25, 30 years ago.
Well, and certainly, you know, with the loosening of marijuana laws, mm-hmm. and you have to have a clean driving record, too. Yeah. So if you have a lot of speeding tickets, that's probably not going to work in your favor if you're trying to work as a bus driver. Charles from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Charles. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Hey, by the way, happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
And to you.
And to you.
Thank you. You're talking about bus drivers. Let's take it one step further. Let's take it to the classroom. I've seen classes where kids are literally walking on the desks and the parents don't care.
Yeah.
I've seen, you know, after 38 years of teaching, I've seen quite a bit. The reason why this is all happening is because all the laws in the state of Wisconsin have turned to the kid and the parents. There used to be a law out there called parental consent, which meant that the teacher had the right of a parent in the classroom and could discipline. That law was repealed by the Republican Party, by the way. I didn't say that, but it's the way the laws have been written so that it protects the child. I understand you need to protect the child, but there is a point at which, I was actually threatened by a sixth grader one time. He says, I'm going to come over and fight with you. I said, it's your choice.
Yeah. What can you do? Yeah. Boy. Thank you, Charles. We're kind of up against the clock here. Thank you so very much for joining us and thank you for listening. Teaching for 38 years, I can't imagine the changes you have seen. And again, just the societal changes and the attitude changes between the generations and how different generations raise their kids.
I agree. I mean, well, that's a deeper conversation, I believe. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
News is coming up next.
Did we ever get to the thing?
We're going to.
Okay.
We'll get to the thing.
Okay.
It was the good, the bad, and you went to an estate sale, and this is what you bought. We will.
I bought it for you.
We'll reconvene. I don't think so. We'll reconvene after the news. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Girls really not be out.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.